A landmark anti-nuclear treaty banning ground-based cruise missiles quietly lapsed today after the United States and Russia have declined to renew it. The Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty, or INF, signed in 1987, saw nearly 3,000 US and Soviet nuclear and non-nuclear missiles, with ranges between 500 and 5,500 kilometers, destroyed. Since that time, the agreement has begun to fray, with the United States accusing Russia of developing weapons that go against the treaty. Now, both countries are reportedly investing in new weapons that will fill the gap left after the treaty has expired. It's a situation that has some observers worried about another nuclear arms race, with the addition of countries such as China, India, and Pakistan this time. Director of the Center for Nuclear Non-Proliferation at the Australian National University, Emeritus Professor Ramesh Tucker, says the INF helped underpin stability in Europe, but that has begun to unravel in recent years.
It's been a remarkably successful agreement, except recently the Americans started saying, and they convinced their NATO allies by providing evidence to that effect, that the Russians were now developing a new type, that this was in violation. That may or may not be true in itself. The Europeans don't seem to believe that that was a deal breaker that justified destroying the INF. But the Americans have also been concerned for some time that China is not party to the INF, and 90 to 95% of its missiles are in the INF prohibited range. And while this was not obviously a factor in 1987, it has become more and more of a factor in recent years, particularly now that China has been identified as a strategic competitor and rival rather than as a strategic partner. So I think the United States, with its global chain of interest, looks to China as well and wants to bring China into these agreements. China's argument is that, look, we have fewer than 300 nuclear weapons, whereas the Russians and the Americans have over 13,000 or so, more than 90% of global stockpiles. So you can't really compare ours, say the Chinese, with the Americans and Russians. And the important thing is either you bring your number down or we'll have to take ours up before we can join you in this process. So that, in a nutshell, is the thing about the INF. As I said, the bigger worry now is that the only remaining nuclear arms control treaty that regulates Russian and American is what's called New START, which applies to the strategic weapons and regulates the numbers that each side can deploy. That will run out in 2021. It has a provision for extension by 5 years. The Russians have said, let's start talking about that. The Americans so far have rebuffed all overtures to that effect.
So what do you think could happen if that runs out and there is no extension or no other treaty to fill the place? Will we see an expansion of nuclear
weapons? A nuclear arms race. And whereas in the Cold War that was essentially just between Americans and Soviets, today it would be a global free-for-all, because if the Americans and Russians start increasing, the posture of nuclear restraint that China has demonstrated, the reason it has fewer than 300 is it's been a very restrained policy. That would change, and if the strategic environment for China changes adversely in the Asia-Pacific, it will start increasing its arsenal and its balance of different types of nuclear forces and delivery systems. Should China do that, India will follow in response to the China threat. If India does that, Pakistan will follow. And of course, if we go in for a nuclear arms race, between the 9 existing powers, this will add to the pressures and temptations for proliferation with regard to other countries. And recently we've also had, of course, as you'll be aware, a debate around Hugh White's new book, where he says in the not-too-distant future that we, meaning Australia, may have to contemplate acquiring our own independent nuclear deterrent, both because of questioning U.S. ability to come to our defense if we are attacked by China, but also questioning U.S. willingness to do so, particularly when you see where the Trump administration is going.
For that reason, would it be in our interest to try to lean on different allies and different countries who are involved in this to try to bring about a multilateral solution, a bigger global solution?
Well, I think we should support what the Europeans are doing. They've expressed unhappiness. They've called on all states to uphold the integrity of the rules-based international system, and they have called on Russia and the United States to talk their way through this rather than abandon it. So I think we should support the Europeans on this. I think we should support the Europeans in continuing to express regret at the Americans walking away from the Iran nuclear deal. They certainly have not achieved any of their stated objectives by walking away. And in the meantime, Iran is starting to walk away from its commitments, because you can't have one party bound by an agreement that the other party has walked away from. And of course, this undermines efforts to get North Koreans to denuclearize, because they will say, well, why should we trust anyone anymore? The world is, in fact, going backwards. So all around, the things are getting worse. Geopolitical tensions have risen. Nuclear risks are multiplying. So I think we need to get back into the game, and I think we need to get back into that and try and diffuse tensions. But where the Europeans are saying things publicly, I think we should at least support the Europeans in trying to restore some sanity to the unraveling nuclear arms control agreements.
It's Emeritus Professor Ramesh Thakur from Australian National University speaking to me earlier.